Sponsored by vivagreen-greensax.com, compostable bags for home and garden.
103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
We're at 3.2 Dublin City FM. It's The Sod Show for another Friday afternoon in Dublin City. Good afternoon to you. It's Brian Green and Peter Donegan with you until 3.30. And we'll be talking with Finbar O'Mahony, an old friend of The Sod Show. That's what's on today's programme. Stay tuned for that. First of all, we'd like to say good afternoon and hello. And thanks to our sponsors, Greensax Compostable Bags for Home and for garden. Check them out on the internet at viva-greensax.com. Check them out in the supermarket where you can drop them into your trolley. We're on Twitter at Sod Show. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thesodshow. And you can get the last 4.5 years of shows at sodshow.com. The blog is managed by Katrina Redmond. If you have any news for The Sod Show, info@sodshow.com is the email address to send it into. We're going to go to a song of the week first and then to our interview of the week. This week, the song of the week is from Bread and Guitar Man. Chill out, Dublin. This is The Sod Show.
Who draws the crowd and what it is that makes them go?
The wonderful writing and tones of David Gates and Bread, Guitar Man. Good afternoon, it's The Sod Show. We're going to Cork. Peter Donegan's got a microphone in his hand. He's talking to an old friend of The Sod Show. This is Finbar O'Mahony.
You would not believe it if I told you, but I am down in a wee little place called West Cork Secret. It's in Kilbritton in Cork. That's K-I-L-B-R-I-T-T-A-I-N. Kilbritton in County Cork. It's famed for a couple of things. One is the skeleton of a whale as you enter the local village park, and it runs probably about 20 metres long, and the entrance of the car park goes up a trajectory of maybe about, I don't know, 20 odd foot over about a couple of metre distance. It's phenomenal, and you see this big, huge, long skeleton just underneath. When you go in and around about, and I'll put this up on DonaghanLandscaping.com or SodShow.com, one or the other, or just at me on SodShow or Donegan Gardens. I think I am on Twitter if you want to find out, and I'll put you in direction of the right link. The other thing, however, that Kilbritton is famed for is a place known as West Cork Secret, and he is no stranger to the show. He was on in the early days, the very, very, very early days of myself and Brian Green palling around together and learning our trade, or at least I was, and that is Finbar O'Mahony. Finbar, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Finbar, your accent is obviously very strong Cork for those listening outside of Ireland.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We know each other since we were in college together. We would have been there as pretty much 17-year-olds, just past the teenage years. What, I guess, did you study? And again, I have to take this as a, you know, I don't know the answers to this already, but then there'd be no point in having an interview, I guess, on air if I didn't ask that. But what did we, and I guess in this case you, study?
General landscaping, horticulture, growing veg, fruit, nursery stock, kind of across a broad range across the board of all the horticultural section.
So we would have been in Kildalton College together, and we also have had Kildalton on the Sod Show before as well. What happened, I guess, Finbar, in a sense, so just to paint a picture of who you are, what happened when you left college? I went off and took a job, essentially, which ended up as me becoming Donegan Landscaping. You, I guess, in the shorter or longer version of it, ended up doing what?
Well, straight away when I finished college, went working for a landscape firm for about 6 months, and wasn't for me, and within the 6 months started up my own business, went subcontracting for another landscaper, and within the year we were working as self-employed solely, and from there carried on, started building the nursery here, so landscaping right up until to this date, but in 08-09 when the recession hit, probably was the best thing of all, because it kind of gave us a wake up call, and then we decided to set up the Garden Centre / Activity Centre here in the West Cork Secret.
So let me break this down, because I would have had, I guess, in a sense, something similar without being disrespectful to previous employers. But I went and I did it for other people, and not so much that I thought I could do it better, but I kind of had my own ideas on what I should do. I would have set up on my own when I was about 24. I was 25 in the January. Sorry, 24 in the January. I set up on my own. Yeah, before I was 25 years of age. You literally set up when you were about what? So I'm 39 now. I know I don't look it, but at the same token, I would have come out of college at, let's say, 20 years of age, approximately. So you would have been out on your own at 21.
21. Yeah, that would be correct. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it was just the fact that the landscaping that we were doing was roadside industrial. One day I was picking rubbish off the side of the road, and I said, this is definitely not for me. I was into the design, ponds, patios and all that stuff. So I said, right, got talking to another guy and applied for another job, another landscaper. And after half an hour of him talking to me, he said, I know by the way you're talking, you're going to be doing it for yourself, so I'm not going to employ you. I'm going to give you a subcontractor, literally, pretty much. And I said, fine. I didn't know what subcontracting was about. And we got a bit of it. So he was employing me 3 or 4 days a week. Then I got a bit of my own work. And within the space of 6 months, we were working flat out ourselves on our own. So he got sidelined in, and I went off on my own.
Were your parents gardeners, or were they into gardening?
No, just the father was dairy farming, and we had a small veg garden out the back, growing potatoes and stuff like that. Like, but I suppose I served my time when I was in secondary school in a local garden centre. So I was always either weeding for teachers or doing a bit of gardening. I was always gardening. So as I said, the mother, the father, they were always doing a bit of pottering around in the garden. I have a brother, a greenkeeper, another brother, a landscaper, so it's kind of probably in the blood, I suppose, a bit.
And why Kildalton College? Was it a geographic thing? I'll have to apologise or not apologise, but there's business obviously going on in the background, so you'll hear those voices. But the decision to go to Kildalton, I guess.
I suppose, well, first, what's the place? The Botanic Gardens was my first choice. Because I didn't really want to go down the commercial growing veg and stuff. But looking back at it now, it probably stands to me, because I can give a broad spectrum of knowledge on veg and stuff. Whereas if I had gone to the botanics, I would have only had a very short window of growing plants and stuff. I wouldn't have covered fruit and veg, and which now I am growing a lot of my own. But it was really down to economics. Like, I had to have a certain amount of money for the year. I had to go working that summer. What I made that summer kept me to college. If I didn't make it in the summer, I wouldn't have gone to college. And like, I think it was about £1,000 at the time, and Dublin would have been a lot more expensive, but like, would have been digs and everything. And the first choice, the botanics, didn't get the points, got the place in Kildalton. And a month before, botanics rang me up and saying there was a slot after becoming available, and I went, no, I'm happy enough now where I am. And that was kind of that really.
Okay, so for those of you who aren't aware, in Ireland, or at least at the time when myself and Finbar were heading to college, there are or were three main colleges which did what is known as commercial horticulture, which is what we would have both qualified in. And then there was the Botanic Gardens, which was basically amenity. So one is very much specialised on plants and, you know, the care of plants, and very specifically to do it, what you would see in a park or a garden as such, if that makes sense to you. In Kildalton, what we did was you got a broad spectrum of, I guess, vegetables, number one, fruit, number two, plants that would grow in greenhouses or under glass, number three, and then also, I guess, nursery and landscaping and the like. And then in year two, what you do is you specialise into pretty much two main categories. I would have chosen the mainly landscaping and nursery side of it, but the broad spectrum, I will agree with you, in particular over the last few years, is something that kind of stood to us in a sense.
Absolutely. Like, even 2 years ago, when I was developing the West Cork Secret, I was building my own orchard, and even to go back to the college and to get advice from the college on pruning the apple trees, selecting apple trees, and even just refreshing myself. Like, I knew I had the basics in it, and I said, right, lads, just go back. And like, the crash course for half an hour talking to Bernie in the college paid absolute dividends.
Break this back down for me. You would have had a different sense of humour as I would always and have continued to have. Excuse me, in Kildalton. What was that 3.5 year period, 4 year period, I guess, like?
Having the crack. Studying hard, like, there was a great balance that you had. You're studying in the morning, you're working in the evening, and you're partying at night.
I never partayed in those parties. No, and to be fair, but it was a fine balance, I think, that I struck, definitely, where I did work extremely hard at achieving what I wanted to achieve. I had a long-term goal in place. My goals were always 5 years, broken down to the 3 year, then to the 1 year, and then by the month, nearly. But I did work extremely hard. At the same token, I think I also made time for a little bit of life as it should be lived.
Yeah, absolutely. Like to this day, I always say, like, when we came out of college, like, work wasn't unusual to us. We were used to working. We like, whereas our other peers that were in other colleges had just a practical or a theory side of it. We had the practical, we had the work ethic. It's like we were able to hit the ground running. We were working straight away. Like, work wasn't an issue to us. I know at the time we were complaining that, oh, this was slave labour and we were given out and there was student rights and everything. Was some people were branding it, like, but to this day, like, the work ethic from going out after lunch and working and actually physically doing the work paid absolute dividends to us.
Standout memories of college life without reminiscing too much?
Picking apples for Bulmers, picking Brussels sprouts in the middle of winter, pruning nursery socks, moving pots, picking lettuce, celery. Never forget the first year, was it 1 year, they were, Kildalton were trialling this new variety of strawberry. Probably the growers of the strawberries now will be making a phone call to the college, because I don't think the strawberry plant actually ever made the commercial viability, where we were sneaking in after lunch hours and stuffing our faces with strawberries. And to get the results from Mr. Cullinan at the end of the year was a great variety of strawberry, but the yield was very, very low, so we won't be recommending this to the general market. And we were there, like, laughing our asses off. We were strategically kind of stepping off the strawberries, but like, leaving no evidence, like, knowing where to clip it back so you wouldn't. So, like, we were, Billy's rolling in, as there was about 7 or 8 of us rolling in there and rolling back out again.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let's break this down. You mentioned from the landscaping, it came to the point where it was the growing of your own plants. Some people see that as spreading the weight, I guess, or spreading your, you've only got so many man-hour units available in a week. So to divide that up between, let's say, what you could be doing, specialising in landscaping, as I chose to do, to the other side, which is essentially dividing your time into the growing of plants as well as landscaping. How did that go for you in the early years?
Oh, it was really pushing it to the button, because, like, you're trying to balance growing and you're trying to balance, like, every fellow has kind of said to me, said, you're either a grower or you're a landscaper. Mm. But I was lucky that we had 25, we were only working about 5 acres at the time, and I was saying, right, I can grow a few trees here. In the meantime, so it worked out fine. It was, to my detriment, we expanded too much at a too rapid place, trying to manage everything. But at the early years, it was manageable. It was like we were able to select a better quality of plant for the customers. We were able to have a bit, like, we knew how we were getting. Sometimes we were getting some stuff, it could have been in carriage for a week, where we were able to select our trees, our shrubs from the ground, planted that day. Like, everything was planted. You dig it in the morning, you plant it in the evening. It was, the turnaround for the plants were way far more superior than going to the general nursery and going, right, I need this and I'll get it in 4 or 5 days. So in that level, we were able to give a better quality product to the end user.
Did you get caught up, if you don't mind me asking it in this way, but did you get caught up in the boomy thing? Dublin was one thing, and I guess, in short, the £1 million houses wouldn't have been, I wouldn't have batted an eyelid at a £1 million garden in a sense either. Did that trickle? I say that very eloquently. I apologise in the way in which it has been said, but did it hit Cork? Did that kind of an element hit here?
Oh, there was, with not to the big scale. No, me personally wouldn't have come across major jobs like it. I suppose we were just conscious that we weren't like the, our biggest job. We would have had 4 or 5 people on. That was for builders. So like we kind of got sucked in. We knew we were kind of being dragged into it, and we were trying to stay back from it. Mm. We did kind of get sucked into a couple of builders' firms, and that kind of stung us in the tail, at the tail end of it. All right, but as individual jobs, really, we were kind of going from. We were only as good as our last job. So you went from garden to garden. The last person would see the last job. So it was always kind of word of mouth. So we never really get into the... Things got a bit crazy, but big scale money-wise, wasn't really... No, it wasn't.
What kept your feet on the ground through all of that? Or did your feet lift off the ground? Did you end up buying a yacht and going to Barbados and hanging out with Duran Duran? I don't know why that's popped into my head, but I think that song, Her Name Is Rio, was kind of coming into my head. Did you end up at one of those levels?
No, I suppose my level ground, I suppose the way we were brought up, I suppose, really, is paramount. And plus of all, you had plenty of brothers and sisters that give you kind of a clip around the ear and say, where do you think you're coming from? So, so like, no, it means what grounded us, really, I suppose, look. I suppose knowing where we were coming from.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where you were going. Do you know what I mean? Just, I suppose everything we were always doing, we were always plowing stuff back in. We were always kind of constantly adding stuff to it. So, like, we were never really kind of putting away a nest egg. Like, we were just kind of constantly developing. So everything was kind of being reinvested in machines. And
Did you get carried away with it a little bit, Finbar? I mean, did you have that amount of, you know, were you sleeping lopsided because one half of the bed was stuffed with million-pound notes? It's a ridiculous question to ask, but did you in any way get carried away with the momentum?
Absolutely not, I suppose. No, no, I don't think I did. No, I don't. Again, like, because we started off so young, I was looking back at it now, the quality of work we've actually done, I actually undervalued my quality of work.
Mm.
Like, I think to some of the work that I did for people, I think now they might disagree with me, but I think they got a hell of a good deal of the work we were actually pushing out at the time than what we would be doing now, like.
And to back that up, I think on my own part, I think Finbar would have been out in his own ahead of me by about 3 years odd. I was 24, so you would have been, what, about 21, 22 kind of thing. So I went and did it for other people, first of all. And there's voices coming in and out in the background, but don't worry about that. But I think I remember saying to one guy when I was being interviewed, if a boom hit, I don't think I ever really saw it. And when, I guess, the big oar hit, as I like to call it, we don't speak about these things too often on the sideshow, it's not so much I didn't really notice it, but I guess I was one of 8 children reared through the 80s, you know, go on upstairs, sure, does your brother not have a pair of shoes that'll fit you? It was, and you're kind of going, well, he's wearing them.
Yeah, pretty much, like, it was, like, we the ethos, like, again, the work ethos, if you wanted it, you went out and earned it. Yeah. Either picking beet or picking spuds or something along that lines. And, like, if you want it, you go out and earn it. It wasn't going to be handed to you. That was pretty much it. Like, it's...
Okay, look, we're going to... There's a journey here in between. And I guess what I'm trying to do in this part here is to try and get an element of who and what Finbar is and what is West Cork's secret. When I guess the dip came, and this is not the negative that I'm trying to lean to, it's more to the positive. When the negative came, what was the catalyst or the change? Or I guess maybe the easiest question is, what is West Cork's secret now?
Well, I suppose when it hit, I suppose for me, what I found was I kind of stood back and I said, right, I'm gone in the morning at 8, coming back at a ridiculous hour, 8 or 9 o'clock, having the grub at it. Right, you're working all the days that God gave you, and you're kind of looking at the end of the week and going, like, what am I actually making? So I said, right, if I can only make a fraction of what I'm making, but I'm actually staying at home, on my own thing and getting up in the morning and walking down through the fields and have my own. Though I'm not driving to work, I'm not a caught in rush hour, I'm not. And I said, if I can bring people to the place, I said, if I only make a fraction of it, I am happy. I just had literally had kind of had my belly full of breaking my ass for all the days that God gave me and getting nothing for it. And I said, plus landscaping is a, you know yourself, is a tough game.
It's very tough.
And you, there's only so many years about it, and you have to kind of rethink and go, right, when I get to a certain age, am I going to be still mulking over the pick and shovel and trying to straighten out the garden and getting abuse? And so I said, right, let's think about it. And then we started the garden centre, pretty much. But I knew, like, I wasn't naive, but I knew the garden centre was a tough business as well. And I said, trying to develop a garden centre out in the middle of West Cork, in Kilburton, people were saying to me, you have absolutely rocks in your head. You can make it. It's location, 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 location. I kept on hearing this famous word, location, location. But then I said to myself, if we can build the gardens would sell the plants. Will I keep going?
Yeah.
Literally, at that stage, I knew, like, I said, what am I going to have besides the garden? So we actually put in a go-kart track and a few other games for the kids to play with. So people were coming, spending more time on the go-karts, walking the grounds, and people were kind of offering money for the go-karts, and I was saying, no, there's no need to hand in any money, just buy a few plants, and that's how happy, like. So literally went from that. Then there was a festival happened. There was a challenge. The festival used to run a community challenge, and on the back of that, we kind of went, right, people are actually having great fun here. We built our own bit of an obstacle course, part of the challenge. So I had the obstacle course, kind of very rough scale built just for that weekend. And someone asked, would you hold a birthday party? And we went, okay, we put two or three things together. And literally that birthday party then spawned onto another birthday party. And a birthday party went on to another birthday party. And then we looked into a bit more of branch out into the orienteering. The woodland was just being planted at the time in 09. So then we did a bit of orienteering. Then we were kind of had a kind of a package together that we could go to school tours. So then it's kind of snowballed on and on from.
When you turned around and just to backtrack, you had one of Ireland's, I guess, well known to me, but largest nurseries where the garden centre closed down a couple of years ago as well. That was one thing. So and I know on my own side there would have been a lot of people that I would have known, and I, you know, I apologise if this comes across in any untoward way, and again I don't mean to dwell on the negative, far be it from the subject to do that, but you've done well to survive on the one part, and on the second part I think you've done kind of well to reinvent the wheel. Is that a fair way to put it?
That'd be pretty much it, yeah. Like, it was like a total new sense of thing to come from, like, as like everything was, like, when they do it with the kids, it's all clinical, cleaned and everything. Like, we went, right, there is a market. Like, you come from the chuckies and the money, the indoor play areas, and there comes an age, it goes, they want to be outside, they want to be doing stuff, and there's a kind of a bridging gap between there and 16, 17, where there is no facility for them.
Yeah.
So we actually kind of said, right, that's a kind of like aged 8 upwards would be kind of our key market. And we, like, kids were having so much fun just being outside, the simple things. But like that then was having a negative effect on the garden centre, because they were having so much time running through the gardens. People weren't buying actually any plants. But plants were still struggling. But I suppose, so where we are at the moment, we have the activities. The plants have kind of suspended at the moment because we're doing a lot of rebuild. We're moving stuff. We're tweaking stuff. So we said, if we're going to do it right. So if the plants aren't being done right, we just stopped it.
Thanks, Finbar, and thanks, Peter. That's where we stopped the interview. We will rejoin it next week at 3 o'clock here on 103.2 Dublin City FM, part 2 of the interview with Finbar. Stay around for that. This has been The Sod Show. Thanks for listening, and do get in touch at Sod Show on Twitter while we're on air. info@sodshow.com is the email during the week. With thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them on the internet. They're at viva-greensacks.com. And check them in the supermarket where you can download Greensacks into your shopping trolley if you're at the shops but doing it online, if you know what I mean. And with thanks to Katrina Redmond, she looks after our blogs during the week. Thank you, Katrina. And our executive producer, Peter Donegan, who, well, he does all the legwork with those microphones and brings them everywhere. I'm Brian Green. Stay tuned to Dublin City FM throughout the week, and we'll talk to you next week at 3. Take care. Bye-bye.